Hi, this is Arun Vanagopal, and you're listening to Midday on WNYC. We all have different ways of coping. For Caroline Kaufman, it was poetry that helped her deal with depression, starting at the age of 13. And her Instagram account at Poetic Poison launched a year later, and it would draw hundreds of thousands of others who were also dealing with mental illness and sexuality stigmas and the general messiness of life. Now a Harvard student, she's just published her debut poetry collection, and it's called Light Filters In with HarperCollins. And I'm delighted that Caroline Kaufman could be with us here today. Hi, Caroline.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for joining us. So a lot of people, a lot of teenagers specifically, they use diaries, they use journals to deal with their traumas. Why was it poetry for you?
Well, I feel like poetry was my diary. That's really how I saw it. I started with a journal. I started writing that way, and it just ended up being sort of in poetry form. And posting it online was sort of making it an online diary, hoping that someone else could see it so I would feel less alone. But it really was just a diary for me. Like, it didn't feel any different.
How soon after you started were you posting it online?
About a year after. And I started doing that because I'd seen other people posting about their feelings or what they were going through, and they would get comments from people saying, oh, I felt like this too. Oh, you're not alone. Like, I went through this. And that's really what I wanted. I wanted someone to sort of be there and say, oh, I've been through this. You're not alone. And that's really why I started posting it.
And so did you feel that as a poet, you're also alone, or was it more the substance of what you were writing about?
It was mainly the substance that I was writing about.
Okay. And did you have peers who were like turning up and saying, I'm also actually writing poetry about issues like this? Or were you relatively, I guess, unique in that regard?
Well, it was anonymous to start off. So it definitely was very isolating because none of my friends or family members knew that I was writing or posting online. So I really only felt that sense of community online where I was anonymously sharing my work and my feelings. But online, there was a big community of people who really helped me feel less alone.
And how would you characterize those early poems, looking back on it?
Oh, it's weird to look back on. I feel like everyone sort of cringes when they look back at their old work.
Sure.
But for me, yes, I sort of cringe at, I guess, the skill level of the writing. But it's also really interesting for me to look back because a lot of those poems are very dark and very graphic. And it's so interesting to look back on because I'm not in that place anymore and my writing isn't as dark and graphic anymore. And if you sort of go through my account, you can sort of see the work, where the work starts, and then it slowly gets less dark and less graphic, and it slowly becomes this more like positive, inspiring narrative. And so I like to keep up my old work, even if it's cringy or if I don't like it anymore, because I think it's really important for people to see where I started, not just as a writer, but as a person.
That's interesting. So what do you attribute that evolution or the change in tone to?
It really is just sort of a chronicle of my recovery, I feel like. When I started writing, I was really struggling with depression and mental illness, and I wasn't in therapy. And as the writing went on, I went to therapy. I spent years in therapy. I'm still in therapy. I really got the help that I needed and sort of found ways to live with mental illness and overcome it. And I think that's really why there's that change in tone. But it's really amazing to be able to see it physically, like a physical manifestation of that recovery.
And did your therapist, privy to your poetry?
No, actually. I told them that I wrote, and they thought that was really good. They think that they told me that writing was a very good like coping mechanism, and it definitely is. But I didn't really tell anyone that I was posting online because I didn't think it was that big of a deal, because I didn't think that many people were going to read it. And then suddenly a lot of people were reading it, and it was very out of my control. So they didn't really know this whole scope of what I was doing, I guess.
So how did this emerging celebrity, how did that impact you, you know, in your mental health?
I think it was really good for me to be able to have so many people saying that they had felt the same way, and have so many people saying that seeing the growth that I've had since I started my account gives them comfort and lets them know that they can get through it too, and they can get to where I am now. I think that has been really good for me, because I feel like then my writing isn't just for me, and that it's also helping other people. It's been very good. I feel like it's kind of weird to have my whole life sort of under a microscope by all these people. But I've really learned to deal with that and sort of take that as a good thing, take that as a blessing, and be like, okay, well, then if people are watching me anyway, then I might as well be outspoken and make a difference and talk about things that people are scared to talk about, because I'm able to and because so many people are listening.
I'm talking to poet Caroline Kaufman about her new collection called Light Filters In, and her newfound Instagram celebrity, I guess, which I guess, so on balance, it's been a good thing for you. Have you, I guess, also encountered what seems inevitable, which is that if you're a public presence, then there's always people looking to try to bring you down a notch?
Oh, definitely. Someone made a hate page, like an Instagram page.
Oh, they put in some work.
Yeah, they really put in the effort to make a page dedicated to why I'm a terrible human being. It's really not bothered me as much as I thought it would, because for every one person who's saying that, just saying bad things about me, there are 1,000 other people who are saying that my work has helped them. And there are definitely the most negative feedback I get is mainly about the poetry, not about myself, about how, like, modern poetry, and like in particular, and sort of the general concept of Insta poetry or modern poetry. But it doesn't really bother me as much as I thought it would, because I didn't start out writing and posting to be this modern poet or to be this big presence. I started out doing it for myself. And so I don't really think anyone can, like, say that that's a bad thing, I guess.
I feel like we need to hear some of your poetry, and you have dozens of poems in here. Are there any in particular that you would mind reading out for us?
Yeah, sure.
There's one that really struck me about comparing, I guess, seeing yourself compared to other people who eventually became very famous poets, but who are at some point, they were young like you, say Emily Dickinson or John Keats. That's on page 131. Would you like to read that?
Sure. I shy away from calling myself a poet. Emily Dickinson is a poet, I say. John Keats is a poet. I am a person. I am barely 18 years old. I think too much. I feel too much. I write to soothe the ache in my heart or my head or my lungs. Poet comes with a pedestal of papers, with a crown presented by old men in dusty libraries. Poet comes with every word under scrutiny. Then I begin to picture a young girl named Emily, sounding out words on paper and tracing over letters, excitement growing with every shaky vowel and consonant. And I picture John, just shy of 20, studying to be a doctor, but always being drawn back to writing. Then I remember myself, 9 years old, writing my first stanza about a butterfly. I can see the piece of paper, the eraser shavings. I can feel each puzzle piece shifting into place. I remind myself that in the beginning, there were no pedestals, there were no crowns, just emotions. I remind myself that poets always have been just people who think too much, who feel too much, who soothe the aches with the only thing that makes sense, words. I have no pedestal. I have no crown. This is the only thing that makes sense to me.
And you write all in lowercase. Is that a choice that not unusual, of course, but how much do you edit? Was this a very conscious choice?
It wasn't conscious at first, because I began writing on my phone. I would, anywhere I would go, I would have an idea, I would take out the notes app on my phone and just start writing. And so it would end up being in all lowercase anyway. And I sort of liked the idea that it was in all lowercase because it, I feel like it helped make the book sort of feel like it was more informal. I didn't want it to be a formal thing. I wanted it to be very informal because this entire process has been informal, and I wanted to keep my poetry informal so that it didn't feel like elite or something other people couldn't reach. I really wanted it to be something that was very accessible to everyone.
But suddenly you wake up and you have a published hardcover book. How did that feel when you saw this published?
I mean, it still doesn't feel real. I don't exactly know how to describe the feeling. It's amazing and sort of, you can't quantify it. I never thought that it would be a book. And there are a lot of pieces in here that I wrote when I was 14 years old, 15 years old, and I wasn't writing those thinking that they were going to be in a book. So it's kind of amazing, kind of unbelievable. I don't really know how to feel about it, really.
There are themes of suicide, depression, of you hurting yourself. Are there things that you feel less inclined to express to the world than you did 3 or 4 years ago? That you hold back?
I try very hard to not hold back anything, really. I think that having an audience and having people who follow me really inspires me to be my truest self. And I don't want to hold back anything because I think it should be okay to talk about these things. I think that especially teenagers, these things need to be talked about, suicide awareness, self-harm. Like, these are things that people really shy away from talking about. But I think that a lot of people need to hear about it and need to hear other people's experiences from it, because when I was 13, when I was 14, that's all I wanted. All I wanted in the world was someone to tell me that they had gone through this, someone to talk about what I was going through and say that it was okay. And so that's really why I try hard to be completely 100% vulnerable and honest, because I know that someone out there needs to hear that it's okay.
Do any of your fellow students at Harvard know that you're a published author?
They do. I sort of became more public about this poetry account and putting my name behind it in the past year. They know, they're very supportive. All my friends are really supportive and really great, which is nice.
Are you taking a lot of poetry classes?
I actually am. I'm doing a possible secondary in English. First semester, I took a course on lyric and narrative poetry. And last semester, I took a course on sort of the history of science and where it belongs in fiction writing. So I'm very interested in poetry and traditional poetry. I love traditional poetry. That's where my love for poetry really began. Definitely.
Social media, we can't stop asking this question about whether on balance it's a good or bad thing. For you, it's been a platform, but do you have an answer to this question as to whether social media is on balance good or bad?
It depends on what you do with it, I really think. Social media used to be bad for me. I would feel really bad about myself scrolling through Instagram or Facebook or Tumblr, but it didn't become a good thing until I made it a good thing, until I actively chose to be my true self on there, to actively just be completely myself wholeheartedly, unapologetically. So I don't think it can be a definite good or a definite bad. I think social media is really what you make of it.
And you turned it into an outlet for your creativity.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Caroline, for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'm Arun Vanigopal, and I've been speaking with Caroline Kaufman about her new book, Light Filters In.